The following Dharma talk was given at Boundless Way Temple in Worcester, Massachusetts. The temple is an affiliate of Boundless Way Zen, a multi-lineage school of Zen Buddhism. So tonight we continue with our exploration of the Lojong practices, these 7 points and 59 slogans that come to us from our Tibetan cousins in the Mahayana and the Great Vehicle teachings, and that have been interpreted, now for the last few days from a few of the teachers who teach here, and of course using the text from another Zen teacher, Norman Fisher from California. And we've been exploring the second of the 7 points, the one that is called Absolute Compassion by Norman Fisher, or Absolute Bodhicitta, the great wisdom, heart, energy that fills the universe. Later, in the next few days, we'll be looking into Relative Bodhicitta a little more closely, which is where the rubber meets the road. That's where we put this sensing into the absolute nature of the universe as full of light and compassion and protection into our own activity. So the experience of tasting this absolute compassion, this compassion that has no opposite to it, that is just oneness, just wholeness, simply filling everything, permeating everything, and then we get to use it in the relative bodhicitta practices. And Norman Fisher's translation of the fourth of the 59 slogans, we've been talking about the first two, number two and three, see everything as a dream and examine the nature of awareness. So Alan and David gave talks about these two yesterday and today. And these 2 points, seeing everything as a dream and examining the nature of awareness, are really designed to get us deeper and deeper into experiencing the absolute, the fullness of life, shunyata, everything is it. And the next one is a really kind of wonderful one, because it basically says, don't pay any attention to those two. Don't get lost in the absolute. Norman Fisher translates it as, don't get stuck on peace. So the peacefulness that arises when we know that we can rely on the absolute quality of the Dharmakaya, the way things are, this great benevolent universe. And then the Lojong teachings say, wait a minute, don't get stuck there. Because we know that when we get stuck there, and any of us who've tasted that wonderful feeling of wholeness know that it is weirdly limited. It's not what we thought it was. It, as we sometimes say, has no power for the way. So it in itself is so important. It's the fundamental ground on which everything rests and everything is. But without putting it into action, then we get lost. We stop realizing that suffering exists. And when we get closer to relative bodhicitta in this little road map that has been left to us by our Tibetan friends from earlier centuries, in the roadmap, we get closer and closer to the reality of compassion, what David called today the soft spot in our hearts, in our bodies, all of us born with a soft spot at the top of our skulls, and what Chögyam Trungpa Rinpoche calls the woundedness, the fundamental frustration that being human brings up in us. Things do not go the way we want them to. This is the original teaching of the Buddha. 2,600 years ago, he recognized that it was never going to go his way. There would always be something that was off, something that was uncomfortable or difficult. Could be very subtle. He called it dukkha. And dukkha is a word that describes the sound a cartwheel makes going down the road when it's out of alignment. Duk, duk, duk. This out of alignment, this not quite right, this is something that we have to recognize is also part of this universe that is so full of compassion and light and wholeness and peace, and also. So without the and also, we become what I used to call, and I think my first teacher used to call this, Zen robots. Just unfeeling beings who have no real sympathy for others. We don't allow ourselves to taste the quality of suffering that is everywhere on this planet, everywhere. Right in this moment, there are people who are dying. There are people who are suffering, who are being tortured, who are at war, who are being traumatized in a zillion different ways. That's happening. And if we shut our hearts to it, then we get stuck in the realm of the absolute and we're useless. It's so important to find ways to bring the absolute and the relative together, because it's not all bad news. There are these moments when we do touch into the absolute. We touch into the wholeness of life. Thank goodness. And I've heard from people who are really, really deeply lost in their suffering. And I guess I'm one of those people. I mean, maybe everybody in this room is. In fact, I think I could count on the fact that everyone in this room has had something not go your way. Something really difficult. A moment or a series of moments or days or weeks or years when things are just awful. The heart just breaks. There's no way to fix it. It's just terrible. What do we do? And even in those periods of our lives, suddenly we see the stars in the sky, or the smile from another person, or the touch of the hand of a friend, or the gleam of light on the wood floor of the zendo. All of these things are to remind us that wholeness, that the absolute and the relative coexist, and even more than that, are actually the same thing, just viewed from different perspectives. Now, those of you who know me know that I love koan practice, one of the great gifts that the Zen tradition brings to the Mahayana, the great vehicle practices. So while Lojong is a great gift from the Tibetan practices, I consider the koan tradition a great gift from Zen. And I was reminded by one of you the other day of a koan that I just love, and it was my first teacher's favorite koan. He gave lots of talks on it. And I want to talk about it a little bit tonight as we examine this slogan, don't get stuck on peace, because it's actually saying pretty much the same thing. The background to this koan, and it's important, I think, to know this in terms of the interpenetration of bliss and suffering, of the absolute and the relative, of wonderfulness and horribleness, is that the character in this koan who speaks first is a state official. And he's been doing some study, doing some reading in the great works of masters who came before him. One of them, a great teacher named Zhao. And Zhao was someone who was accused of crimes by the state. Buddhists have long been accused of undermining the government of whatever country they were in. I think this practice is quite subversive, so I'm not surprised that Zen teachers aren't always the most popular people in democracies and governments and monarchies and all the different kinds of governments that there are in the world, this sort of quality of undermining everything. And so Zhao was sentenced to death. And the last thing that he ever wrote, because he was allowed brush and paper the evening before his execution, was this. He said, "Heaven and earth and I are of the same root. All things and I are of one substance." So here it is, right? This is the absolute. This guy was about to have his head chopped off by the government officials who didn't like him, who not only didn't like him, but hated him and wanted to destroy him. But he reached this place in his own heart, the place where nothing can be destroyed, the place of oneness. "Heaven and earth and I are of the same root. All things and I are of one substance." Now you feel the poignancy of this and the great truth of it. When we're pressed against the wall, sometimes the only way out, as we say, is through. And what we break through to is this utter reliability of absolute compassion. No division, nothing to oppose, nothing to fight, just this, just this. So now, a century or two later, the story of the koan begins. It's case number 40 in the Blue Cliff Record. And this official, Jingshan Lugeng, he's talking with the great Zen master Nanchuan, one of our ancestors famous for doing many things, including cutting a cat in two when the monks of the Eastern Western Hall were arguing about it. He famously grabbed the cat in the middle of the argument and said, "Say something or I'll kill this cat." And they were so lost in their arguments with each other that they couldn't see the essential matter. So he killed the cat. Nanchuan, not fooling around, not letting people be defeated by their human nature of divisiveness, which we were talking about earlier today. So the officer has just been reading this Master Zhao's work, and he says, "Nanchuan, have you heard this? Heaven and earth and I are of the same root. All things and I are of one substance." And then he says to Nanchuan, to his teacher, "Isn't that amazing? Isn't that great?" According to one commentator on this koan, the word that is translated as wonderful, fantastic, amazing in Japanese is kikai, which means strange and weird. Like unbelievable. Like what? Can you believe this? This is the most amazing thing I've ever heard. And Nanchuan gestures to him and takes him into the garden and points to a flowering peony tree. And he says to this official, "People of these days see this flower as though they were in a dream. People of these days see this flower as though they were in a dream." So that's the koan story. And maybe you can hear the flavor of the Lojong teachings in this koan story. Here's the state official reading Great Master Zhao's final words, penetrating into the absolute nature of reality. And Nanchuan, just like the Lojong teachers, say, "You know what? There's something else. It's not just about seeing everything as a dream, and it's not just about examining the nature of this open awareness, this wholeness, this thusness. There's a flower right in front of us. Can you see it? Can you see this particular blossoming of the relative world right in front of yourself, right in front of you? Can you see it?" He says, "People these days don't see it. They're preoccupied. Maybe they're lost in their dream. seeing everything as a dream is not the final saying of the Lojong practices. It is part of the introductory practices. It's so important that we ground ourselves in the world as it is. So in our Zazen practice here, all of us coming out of the cold night, the Zendo filled with people awaiting the, well, I don't know what you're awaiting, the word of Zen or some revelation, or, and the instruction is to sit still, to ground in your cushion or your chair, to keep your feet on the ground, to rise up upright, to sit upright and still in the middle of no matter what is happening, this physical form. This is what allows us to both see how we're dreaming and asleep, to appreciate thusness and the absolute when it arises, and then to get up off the cushion, get out of our chair, come to standing when the bell rings, and begin walking. Take this upright stillness into activity. And then the clappers clap again and we sit down again. This is a specific training in absolute and relative, in thusness and actualization. Everything is truly one thing. Everything is a dream. This awareness that fills the universe, really reliable. And don't be fooled. Don't get lost. Stay awake to this world that comes and goes and is teaching us in every single moment. So in a moment, we'll come back to our sitting practice. I'll stop talking and we'll sit until the bell rings and then get to actualize our practice and walking. Thank you.